So what do you say if we, what do you think you say in a concession speech?
That is a clip from the new Netflix original documentary, Mitt, a behind-the-scenes look at presidential politics from the campaign of 2012 Republican nominee Mitt Romney. Not surprisingly, Mitt has gotten a lot of attention in the press lately, but if you are not ready to reflect on the 2012 election, there are many other documentaries available through Netflix instant streaming service. The hardest part is knowing which ones are worth it. Ross Scarano is deputy editor at Complex, where he's compiled a list of the 25 best documentaries streaming on Netflix. Ross, thank you for speaking with us.
Yeah, of course. I'm happy to be here.
And let's just establish that neither you nor I are being paid to plug Netflix, but this is just a terrific source of watching documentaries, among other things.
It is. You know, if anything, the need for the list maybe points out some problems that Netflix has with recommendations. So maybe it's not a plug after all.
Well, let's start off with some recommendations for somebody who's not likely to watch Mitt, for example. Any lighter, funnier, or more cultural options for Netflix subscribers looking for a good documentary?
I'm a huge fan of Bill Cunningham, New York.
Oh, I loved that one.
So it came out in 2010. It's a documentary about Bill Cunningham, who is the on-the-street style photographer for the New York Times and has been for many, many years.
He rides his bike around and takes photographs of people, and usually women, in mm-hmm. stylish outfits and finds a theme.
Yeah, and he's an amazing figure because he's kind of like this fashion monk where he lives this very like ascetic lifestyle. So he's just this amazing New York character, and his story's really inspiring and also melancholy at times because he's led such a solitary life.
So that's Bill Cunningham, New York. Anything else?
I also really like Room 237. It's basically a study of Stanley Kubrick's film The Shining, his mm-hmm. horror movie, Stephen King adaptation. The documentary takes the form of interviews with a number of people who have obsessively studied the film and have all sorts of theories about what the movie might actually be about, and they range in terms of credibility. You know, you have some people who are actual film scholars and other people who have just spent a lot of time in their living room watching the movie. It's funny. It's weird. It's just an interesting way of thinking about what a documentary can be and what a movie can be.
And that's Room 237. And we will have a full list of Ross's choices for documentaries to watch on Netflix at our website, wordofmouthradio.org. Another doc getting a lot of attention on Netflix. This is called The Queen of Versailles. This came out in 2012, about a family that made huge money in the timeshare business and set about creating an over-the-top replica of the palace at Versailles. And halfway through construction, they lost everything in the financial collapse. Here's just a clip.
If we had to buy just a normal house, like $300,000 house, four-bedroom house, I would be fine with that. Make it work. Just get a bunch of bunk beds, you know.
The Queen of Versailles, both hilarious and somewhat maddening to watch. As what are some more serious, hard-hitting documentaries available on Netflix right now?
Well, the one that I'm probably most excited about and the one I recommend the most often is a film that came out last year that's up for an Academy Award this year. It's called The Act of Killing.
Mm-hmm.
It was directed by an American named Joshua Oppenheimer, who found himself in Indonesia where there was a genocide in the 60s. And he wanted to make a film about this. And so being a sort of like compassionate person, he was like, well, I want to interview the survivors and the families of survivors. But because the regime that perpetrated the genocide is still in power, he found that it was very difficult to do that. And it was compromising the safety of the people he was interviewing and his own safety. And then so in a really perverse, ugly turn, he found out that the easiest way to get people to talk about it was to talk to the people responsible for it. And then so the film that he ended up producing is it's something akin to interviewing Nazis today had the Nazis won World War II.
So that's The Act of Killing. This is nominated for Best Documentary Feature. Let's hear another one from your list. This one is called Blackfish. It's a 2012 documentary that takes a critical look at SeaWorld and the danger of one killer whale in particular, which caused the deaths of several SeaWorld trainers.
Avulsion, laceration, abrasion, fractures, fractures and associated hemorrhages, blunt force traumas to the main body, to the extremities. To see this meted out against a trainer, and I cannot fathom the reason. It's shocking. The lawyer for OSHA asked me what I thought we'd learned. And I'm sitting in the courtroom, and I've got the Kelty Byrne case file in one hand, and I've got Don Bradshaw in the other, and they're almost to the day 20 years apart. And I'm looking at these two things. My only answer is nothing.
Clip there from the film Blackfish, a documentary that's available for streaming on Netflix. Ross Scarano has compiled a list of the 25 best documentaries that you can watch on Netflix. And that's something that I've read recently, Ross, about documentary films being like the new muckraking journalism. That this is the forum where a lot of people who spend a lot of time and energy digging up facts, investigating interesting stories, have a forum. What do you think is going on in documentaries right now?
Well, I think that for the same reason that, you know, more and more independent small films are made every year and then published on places like YouTube, it's just become cheaper to make movies than it ever has been before. I feel like documentaries are the perfect form in many ways to open someone's eyes to something that's happening, for instance, like at SeaWorld, you know, places that they've probably been but didn't really understand what was going on behind the scenes. There's nothing better than to show someone footage of that.
Well, no self-respecting list of great documentaries would be complete without this voice.
These images are memories of long-forgotten dreams. Is this their heartbeat or ours?
Clip there from The Cave of Forgotten Dreams by director Werner Herzog. Any other good Herzog documentaries on Netflix right now, Ross?
Werner Herzog is a superhero and one of my favorite people. It's sad they just took Grizzly Man off not too long ago. That's one of my favorites. But you can watch Into the Abyss, it's his documentary about death row in Texas that came out a few years ago. It's a very sobering film.
Grizzly Man's gone. How often does Netflix swap out content?
Well, you know, it's all about the sort of licensing agreements they make with studios, and they aren't entirely forthcoming about that information. The lineup changes every week. There, you know, will be some titles removed every week and also titles added. But like I said, they don't make all that information available.
Well, Ross, we generally think of documentaries as something that engage the mind in an intellectual way, or we're learning something. Any guilty pleasure documentaries come to mind for you?
Well, I mean, I guess, you know, it's not a guilty pleasure. I don't feel bad about watching it, but Style Wars, it's about graffiti in the early days of hip-hop in New York in the 1980s, and it's just so much fun to watch. It has all these weird appearances from graffiti writers and from, like, Ed Koch, who was the mayor at the time, and just so many amazing, beautiful shots of New York in the 80s. When it's dirty but also weirdly gorgeous, it's a lot of fun.
Well, Ross, thank you for the recommendations. I was really looking for something to do before House of Cards starts.
Now you have plenty of options.
Ross Scarano, deputy editor at Complex, where he compiled a list of the 25 best documentaries now streaming on Netflix. There's a link to the complete list at wordofmouthradio.org. Among Complex Magazine's list of the best documentaries now streaming on Netflix is the film A Band Called Death. It's about three teenage brothers from Detroit who formed a band in the 1970s, which isn't so unusual. The home of Motown gave birth to a number of bands that made it, and many, many more that didn't. This band was unusual for another reason. Producer Mercedes Mejia has a story. Have you heard
the family news? The name of this band is Death, and they're often described as the first black punk band.
See, we grew up in the black community, so at that time, people were tuning in to like groups like Earth, Wind & Fire.
And, you know, here we are in the middle of all of this playing rock and roll.
And, I mean, it was just, it wasn't a rock and roll culture. White boy music.
You heard from Bobby and Dennis Hackney in a clip from the film A Band Called Death. The film tells an unbelievable story about how the band languished in obscurity for decades before stumbling into sudden fame. When Death began playing Detroit clubs in the 1970s, no one was prepared for the proto-punk sonic attack the brothers unleashed on stage. But drummer Danis Hackney says they were just playing the music they loved.
When people say, oh, you know, you pioneered punk music and you did this and you did that, we weren't trying to pioneer anything.
Yeah.
We were just fighting for our identity.
That's right. And, you know, back in the 70s, if you call somebody a punk, I mean, that was fighting words. You got a bloody nose for that.
That's Bobby Hackney, bassist and vocalist. His lyrics captured the political rage that typified the punk movement.
The number one biggest game is with the kingdom of fame. Like a race at the top because they want to be boss. They don't care who they step on as long as they get along. Politicians in my eyes.
In 1975, Death looked like it was on the brink of a record deal. But the band had a problem. Bobby Hackney says a record company executive told them this.
You guys might have a record deal if you are willing to change the name.
But the late David Hackney, the band's guitar player and leader, was unwilling to change the name. In a decidedly punk move, Dave said he wasn't going to sell out. So they put out their own 45. But it never took off. David Hackney died in 2000. But before he died, he told his brothers one day the world would come looking for their music.
Tell me, what do you guys think of all this attention you're getting right now?
It's wonderful.
We love it.
We love it. We love it. But, you know, it's what our brother David predicted. And that's what kind of makes it weird. I keep looking in the corner to see Rod Sterling smoking a cigarette talking about the Twilight Zone.
In 2008, a friend of Bobby's son was raving about some great music she discovered. Turns out, it was his dad's band. Bobby Jr. had no idea about the band Death.
I just couldn't believe what I was hearing. Like, my eyes started to tear up. The hairs were, like, standing up on the back of my neck. I started shaking.
Or am I freaking out?
Death's story spread like wildfire, and the documentary was soon underway.
Hey.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
At a screening of the film, Stephanie Christian says she sees her own life reflected in the band's story.
Me being a black rock artist, like, this just solidifies that what I'm doing may not necessarily be everybody's cup of tea, but I'm not going to stop doing it because it's what I love.
The remaining brothers are now on tour, promoting the movie and opening for bands like Metallica. And they give a lot of credit to their late brother, who stuck to his punk beliefs.
Sitting here in this chair today, I'm saying, thank you, Dave. I'm glad that you didn't want that for us.
Yeah. The only bittersweet thing is that we wish that he was here to share it all with us. And he is with us in spirit, but we just wish that he was here, you know.
One, two, three, now!
Our thanks to producer Mercedes Mejia for that piece about Detroit's all-black proto-punk band, Death.